There's the paper right there. It's in your materials. It might be something that you want to just hang on to and then just refer to it because it's pretty easy to run through it. It's got a nice table of contents that'll get you into every kind of product defect that I know of, and that's pretty much of them. All right, the steps in screening a product liability case. A car crash, is it a product liability case? Is something wrong with the car, something wrong with the tire perhaps? Secure the vehicles. I can't tell you how many times people come to a lawyer to look at a product liability case and they say, the vehicle has been sold at auction, the vehicle got claimed by the insurance company. I've tried two cases to verdict that were product liability cases without the vehicle. Neither one of them was in Texas. Both times I was really shocked that I was able to do that. There's only a few places where you can do that. The car or the tire or whatever the piece that failed is the number one piece of evidence. We have a couple of warehouses with cars in them, with crashed cars. We have our experts go and inspect these things. Defense experts come and inspect them, and about half the cases resolve after that because the car doesn't lie. They can look at it and they can tell the same thing that we can tell. So secure the vehicle, because without that, I just think that's a very quickly answered question. When somebody says, I think we may have like a non-deployment of an airbag case, and I say, where's the car? And they say, the car is gone. And I say, well, I can save you some time. No. All right. Obtain evidence from the scene. Obviously we're looking at it sort of from the perspective of a plaintiff's lawyer, and I would say one of the advantages, a great advantages that plaintiffs have is this. We know about the case first most of the time. We get to investigate the case before there's a lawsuit filed. We get to decide whether we want to file the case. We get to go look at the scene and see if there's evidence. It's always worth trying to obtain evidence from the scene. A good example would be in a tire tread separation case. You have pieces of tire, which can make or break a case. Everyone who's driven down the road in Texas has seen that. The testament to the integrity of tires lying all over the highway. When we have a tread separation case, we send somebody out and they walk a long distance and pick up tread pieces, and then later on we sort out which of the five garbage bags of tread pieces are from this tire and which are not. Very, very important. Researching the incident facts. That, you know, talking to your client and finding out, or talking perhaps to witnesses and finding out specific incident facts. And I'll give you a couple of them. Belting and alcohol. Was an occupant wearing the seatbelt? That's a huge issue. Not just because in Texas we recently had a case that held that, that's now evidence in a car crash case. Belting is almost always evidence in a product liability case, because if nothing else, it goes to causation. I mean, if you're not wearing your seatbelt, a crushing roof, it's really hard to prove the crushing roof hurt you if you weren't wearing the seatbelt, because you're going to be diving into the roof. So determining whether they're wearing seatbelts, and there's a lot of ways of doing that. I'll give you one kind of quick one. When a car is in a crash and a seatbelt is loaded up, the latch plate, you know, near your waist, gets a heck of a load put on it. And very quickly and with a lot of force, seatbelt webbing is forced through that little aperture, and you will see melting on there. And that is it's not diagnostic, but in other words, I'll say this. If it is there, somebody was wearing that seatbelt in a crash. If it's not there, that doesn't mean that they weren't necessarily wearing their seatbelt. For example, in a rollover, which is actually a series of small delta V, small impact events, or, you know, rollovers as a whole are pretty catastrophic. Individual hits, not that big a hit. And I've had a lot of rollover cases where people stayed belted the whole time. I mean, we know that they were belted. And there was almost no evidence of wearing on the seatbelt or on the seatbelt buckle. But definitely, if you see load marks on the webbing, or if you see the burning going through the latch plate, that's a very, very significant piece of evidence. It goes without saying that, you know, you don't wipe these things off, you don't change this evidence. I mean, you have to be very careful with it. But if somebody tells you that they were involved in a rollover and you think that maybe they've got a serious stability case or roof crush case, and you send somebody out to go look at that seatbelt, I think that you have to take that very, very seriously, because someplace in case at trial or during negotiations or whenever, that issue is going to come up and you're going to have to fight that battle. There's a good picture of that's seatbelt that webbing that was forced through there. Oftentimes you'll also see marks on the seatbelt webbing itself. Whether any driver was intoxicated, that's a huge thing. I think it is fair to say that under most circumstances, that is a case killer. Most, not all, but certainly most. That is a big deal. Yeah, that's a case to decline there probably. Who's to say? Those two things, belting and intoxication, are two of the key points I would point out. Paper's got more, but you know, those are two biggies. Researching the products involved, there's a lot of ways of doing that. I'll give you two. One of them is to go to the NHTSA website. It's amazing to me that in Donald Trump's America, the NHTSA website is about as consumer-friendly as I would really want it to be. It's very, very good. Treasure trove of information. Really easy to navigate, among other things. You can find out how many complaints there are on a product. You can find out, there's a thing called the TREAD Act, where people are supposed to report these things. Where manufacturers are supposed to report these things. There's also a recall search. A product doesn't have to be recalled in order to be defective, but sometimes when somebody complains of something and they say, wow, the airbag deployed and it sent shrapnel into the passenger compartment, you can check and see if there's a recall, and that's a pretty good little good hint that maybe there is something going on there. This is just walking through the various screens. So then let's click on tires, and then you click on brand, and you say okay, and then you say okay, Goodyear, Silent Armor. What do you know? 41,000 of them were recalled. Very, very easy to click through. You can do it. You can train a paralegal to do it. That's something that, in our office, in a lot of offices, that is just done all the time.